Today's Food for the Journey will be a classic reflection of today's readings.
Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once again to Food for the Journey. Today we look to the readings for the sixth Sunday of Easter, You will find in many of the missalettes that there's great discussion about Ascension Thursday and what readings are on Ascension Thursday and what can be moved to the following Sunday. And it's I've just been reading through them, and sometimes it sounds like Greek to me. Nevertheless, today we are going to look at the readings for the sixth Sunday of Easter. The first reading is taken from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 8, verses 5 to 8, and then verses 14 to 17. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed the Christ to them. So the disciples continued to go out. They continued to reach out, even though some of them, their lives are in jeopardy in the process. With one accord, the crowds paid attention to what was said by Philip when they heard it and saw the signs he was doing. For unclean spirits, crying out in a loud voice, came out of many possessed people, and many paralyzed or crippled people were cured. There was great joy in that city. Their faith was simple. They were able to believe. Sometimes our faith gets complicated. Sometimes it can be complex, but sometimes we make it complicated because we're actually afraid to believe. We're not going to be duped. We're not going to be seen to be a fool. But look what happens here. Their faith was real because unclean spirits came out of many possessed people and many paralyzed or crippled people were cured. There was great joy in that city. Now, when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent them Peter and John, who went down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for it had not yet fallen upon any of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Confirmation. They received the Holy Spirit. Received gifts of the Holy Spirit. If you don't have it and haven't read it, I would urge you to read my book, More of the Holy Spirit. Go online to renewalministries.net, renewalministries.net, and then click on bookstore. And if you can, buy a copy of my book, More of the Holy Spirit. Look at all the gifts that are given. But many of those gifts lie dormant in us because we haven't been instructed. We need instruction. But we haven't been instructed in a way that helps us to understand how God wants to use us to bring the good news to many people, us, right in the pews. He wants to use us to bring many people to him, but we need the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We need to know how to activate them. Soon we're going to be celebrating the Feast of Pentecost. So I urge you, if you can, my book, More of the Holy Spirit. You can order it by going online to renewalministries.net and then click on bookstore. Psalm 66 tells us, let all the earth cry out to God with joy. Let all the earth cry out to God with joy. You're part of the earth where you're standing, in whatever country you're in, because people from different countries are listening to this program. Right where you are, God wants to give you more life from him. He wants to give you more of his love. Pray, ask God for deeper faith. Believe. Start reading scripture every day. take time before the Blessed Sacrament. Receive the Eucharist as often as you can. Feed your soul. Because God needs you. God wants to use you. Hear now, all you who fear God, while I declare what he has done for me. Blessed be God who refused me not my prayer or his kindness. God works miracles for us, for the children of Adam, for the human race. He works miracles for us. But if we don't open our hearts to receive, he's not going to force it on us, ever. Take a look at the second reading taken from the first letter of St. Peter, chapter 3, verses 15 to 18. Beloved, sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts. Make a place for him. Call him holy. Put him in your life in a way that's safeguarded by righteous living and by repentance when you fail. That's sanctifying Christ as Lord in your heart. Always be ready to give an explanation to anyone who asks you for a reason for your hope. Why are you so hopeful? And some of you listening to me right now could say, I'm not. Well, then ask God for it. Give me hope in you, Lord. Give me hope in who you are. Give me hope in God as my Father, as my Savior, my Redeemer. Give me hope in God as my Sanctifier in the Holy Spirit. Give me hope. Give me faith to believe. Pray that way. God's going to hear you. Pray it till you're hoarse. I simply mean persevere. Persevere in that prayer. God will hear you. And he says, always be ready to give an explanation to anyone who asks you for a reason for your hope, but do it with gentleness and reverence, keeping your conscience clear so that when you are maligned, those who defame your good conduct in Christ may themselves be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that be the will of God, than for doing evil. It's better to suffer for doing good, if that be the will of God, than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered for sins once, the righteous for the sake of the unrighteous, that he might lead you to God. Put to death in the flesh, he was brought to life in the Spirit. The Holy Spirit, third person of the Blessed Trinity, desires to dwell in you more and more as the Father and the Son. Open your heart. So many riches. If you haven't known God's presence in your life, there's so many riches or deeper riches that God has for you. Really, there are deeper riches that God has for you. Open your heart. We'll talk more about the coming of the great feast of Pentecost soon. John chapter 14, verses 15 to 21. Jesus said to his disciples, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. That's how we prove our love for God, is to keep his commandments and repent when we fail. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you always, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot accept because it neither sees nor knows him. But you know him because he remains with you. He abides with you. And he will be in you. You're never alone. Do you know that? You're never alone. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live and you will live. And on that day, you will realize that I am in my Father and you are in me and I in you. Look at that unity that he's talking about. He said, you will realize I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and observes them is the one who loves me. So obedience to God, like always, is a sign of your love and your respect for the one who asks you to obey. And with God, we have no doubt that obeying him is the best thing we could possibly do. Even though our sin-filled condition and our weakness and our own sin and our own pride want to say, I don't trust him. I don't want to follow him. Think about it. He's the source of eternal life for you. And that's not just a prolongation of this life. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about eternal life, where every tear will be wiped away. And every sorrow, grief, mourning will pass. Scripture says the old order will have passed away. And all is new. That's what God has for you. That's what he promises you if you follow him. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live and you will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father and you are in me and I in you. So we're caught up into the Trinity. We're caught up into the love of the Father for the Son and the Son for the Father. Whoever has my commandments and observes them is the one who loves me. And whoever loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and reveal myself to him. God desires to reveal himself to you. I can't tell you how he's going to do it, but I know he will. Sometimes it's a quiet whisper, but because it's from God, it sounds like a trumpet blast. No, not really. He comes very quietly, and it's really often only those who have ears to hear. That is, you're attentive, you're waiting. Not waiting like, where is he, but attentive in the sense of, Lord, in all that I'm doing today, all the work I'm doing, all that I have to handle, the cross I have to carry today, help me to remember that you are with me. Help me to remember that perhaps you want to speak to me today. I want to be listening, Lord. Help me. That's the posture. And God will draw very near to those who seek him. He promised us that. You don't have to look around and wonder if there's going to be some kind of a miracle or some kind of a vision or some kind of a voice from heaven. It doesn't usually work that way. He usually works through the exact circumstances in which you find yourself when you say, whoa, what just happened? That person who's always contentious smiled and said, hello, where did that come from? Lord, I don't know where that came from, but may I not turn my head away and say, huh, you're smiling at me, but I'm not going to smile at you. See how we can get into it and we can miss something that God is doing. Always be attentive. Ask the Lord to give you the grace to respond to situations, to circumstances, to whatever, that you may respond with God's grace, with God's mind, with God's spirit. That's what will change the world. That's what will change your family. That's what will change your work relationship. That's what will change your parish. God's Holy Spirit desires to dwell in you and to work through you. May we give him the room that he deserves. God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number, 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.